Well, happy Advent, you brood of vipers. It's not quite the best reading for a day when we're supposed to be celebrating joy, but it's what the lectionary gives us. So today is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete comes simply from the Latin meaning to rejoice. And it comes from part of the Mass, the traditional introit, which also happens to be the first part of today's epistle reading. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And so on this day, we set aside our regularly colored Advent vestments for a bright pop of pink. Or if you want to get liturgically technical, it's rose, but whatever. 3 days ago also happened to be the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And when I first started attending a Catholic church, it was staffed by a group called the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit. And they were a religious order from Mexico. And the priest had a particular fondness for this apparition of Mary. And without fail, whenever he referred to her, he would always say, "Our Lady of Guadalupe, our sweet and holy mother." And he had a huge smile on his face. Our Lady of Guadalupe, our sweet and holy mother. Makes me smile too. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now I want to tell you a little story. Juan Diego was a middle-aged Aztec peasant who lived during the Spanish conquest of Mexico. He became a Christian, and by all accounts, he was a very humble and pious man. He often would walk many miles from his home up in the hills down to the parish church. On one of these walks, Mary appeared to him on December 9th, 1531. But she didn't come looking like the images of Mary in Europe. She came looking like a beautiful Aztec lady. And she asked him, in his native Nahuatl language, to tell the archbishop that she wished him to build a church for her. Juan said he wasn't really the kind of person that archbishops had the habit of listening to. He was poor, he was indigenous, but Mary wasn't going to take no for an answer. As Juan predicted, he went to the archbishop, and the archbishop didn't particularly believe him when he told him Mary's message, and the archbishop told Juan to go back to Mary and ask her for a sign. So he did. Mary appeared to him. She told him to go gather some roses that he would find growing unseasonably in the winter amidst the frost on a mountaintop, and he was supposed to take those then to the archbishop as the sign. So he got his tilma or his cloak, he gathered up all the roses, and he arrived at church before the archbishop got there. And when he released the bottom of his tunic, everyone in the room saw these miraculous roses. But they also saw on his cloak the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe embedded in the fibers. When the archbishop finally got there, he was astonished, and he immediately knelt to venerate the image. 2 weeks later, the first chapel was built on the site of the apparition, and Juan's tilma or cloak was installed inside. Can still see it today in Mexico City. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. These miraculous roses had burst through this harsh desert in the winter. They had grown up through the frost to become a beacon of hope and of joy in a desolate place. our epistle too also has a similar story. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We may be thinking, hearing these words, that Paul is sitting on a beach in the Mediterranean, soaking in the rays. He's on vacation somewhere. No, he's writing from jail. Paul's in jail as he writes this, and it's not a comfortable jail. It is a desolate, barren place. But even in jail, Paul is not able to hold back the joy that he has and that he feels for God. And I love this example, but I struggle with this. I'm sure that most of us would struggle with it at some point in time. Where can I find joy when life is so uncertain? Where can I find joy when I'm scared? Where can I find joy when it seems like absolutely everything is unprecedented? These are all great questions. I don't have any great answers for you. Several years ago, Pope Francis on Gaudete Sunday said this: "Sometimes we are tempted to find excuses and complain, acting as if we could only be happy if 1,000 conditions were met." His reasoning for this is that we are very, very good at multiplying occasions of pleasure, yet we find it very difficult to engender joy. And now, the more I thought about that, the more I agreed with him, that I realized that there is a difference. That pleasure and happiness are not joy. And I started thinking, and joy is the look on my daughter's face when she comes running up to give me a hug after I've had a long and exhausting day. Joy is the smell of my favorite body wash on a cold morning when I am honestly far too tired to be taking a shower. And joy is helping someone when you'd really rather be doing anything else. The priest and theologian Henri Nouwen has rightly said that while happiness is dependent on external conditions, joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can take that love away. And thus, joy can be present even in the midst of sadness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Can you allow yourself to find joy even in the midst of sorrow? Do you need everything in your life in line before you can rejoice? What is the frost that is in your life that the roses must break through? I want to leave you with a poem by one of my favorite poets, Padre Gotuma. He sums all of this up beautifully. Rejoice, rejoice. Not because there's any reason, because sometimes it's true. There's not. Rejoice in the storying of hoping, not because of any reason whatsoever, but because of joy, because of hope, because survival must mean something more than coping. Rejoice, rejoice. Our day of storytelling will come around again. Rejoice, we must make it. rejoice.